Hi there, I'm Sue Elvis from the blog Stories of an Unschooling Family. Welcome to my podcast. This is episode 136. And today I want to talk about screen time. Is it really okay to give kids unlimited access to screens? Can we trust them to self-regulate their usage? Is it as simple as that? I thought that I would share one of my blog stories with you to start off the conversation. And the one I've chosen today is called, Is It Really Okay to Give Unschooling Kids Unlimited Access to Screens and the Internet? And I have chosen this story and this topic because I think they lead on quite nicely from last week's podcast episode, A Gradual Approach to Unschooling and More. Yes, during that episode, I touched on screen time and balance and things like exercise and going outside. And then in the week, I had a couple of conversations with different people about this topic. And so I hope that it is all right to continue the conversation, though I suspect that I have already talked about all this before in a previous episode, but I'll talk about that more after I have shared this story. Is it really okay to give unschooling kids unlimited access to screens and the internet? Perhaps you've been reading about unschooling and you like the idea, but there's one thing that makes you feel uneasy: unlimited screen time. What if your child spends an excessive amount of time on their computers or phones? What if you feel they're wasting their time? What if their screens seem to be causing them to behave in a way you don't feel is healthy? There are lots of unschooling articles that will reassure you about screens. Their message: if we allow our kids to have as much screen access as they like, they will learn to self-regulate their usage. We just need to let go of control and trust our children. They'll work it out for themselves. And I have found this to be true. My children have always had free access to screens. I have never made any rules, and they all use their screens in productive and balanced ways. But are my children representative of all kids? Is it okay for me to say, look at my family, follow our example, your fears are groundless? Or are you right to worry about the effect of such things as screens, the internet, social media, and computer games on your children? Even though my kids handle these things well, I don't. I have got very entangled with the internet and it's affecting my life. Not so long ago, I faced up to the fact that I need to make some changes. I want to regain my peace and my concentration, which affects my ability to do worthwhile work. I also want to strengthen my face-to-face relationships. These have been suffering because my attention has been online rather than offline. I spoke about this in episode 105 of my podcast, Social Media, Internet Addiction, and Screen Time. I pondered the question, if adults have trouble handling the internet, why do we think all kids will be able to deal with it? Since making that podcast, I've been thinking further about this topic. Here are some of my thoughts. Screen time. How do we feel about this word? Does it make a difference what kind of screen our kids are using? And are we more comfortable letting them have access to a screen if we feel they are doing something worthwhile with it? For example, we might be happy for our children to do research using the internet, or complete an online course, or belong to an online book study group. We might be willing for them to spend a lot of time on their computers if they are writing. But what if our kids are on social media, or playing computer games, or watching YouTube videos? Perhaps we label these activities as time wasters because we, personally, don't see the value in them. However, we learn from everything in life, and we all have different interests. So maybe our kids should be allowed to spend time doing the things that are important to them, regardless of our feelings. If we accept this idea, we should let our kids have free access to screens. It's the right and respectful thing to do. But what if we let go of control and our kids go wild, in our opinion, and don't want to do anything except sit in front of a screen? We might reassure ourselves that once they realize the screens aren't going to be taken away, they'll relax and slow down. It's all a novelty at first, but after a while, they'll want to do other things as well. They're not always going to want to spend every available hour on their computers or tablets or in front of the TV. However, despite what other people tell us, we might not really be convinced this will happen. Deep down, we don't trust our kids will be able to self-regulate. Do children pick up on these feelings of doubt? When we say, you can spend as much time on your computer as you want, we could also pass on the message, I'm not sure I'm happy about this situation. Are we waiting for the first opportunity to grab back control? Kids know when we don't feel comfortable. They don't trust us, just like we don't trust them. So maybe if we aren't 100% committed to an idea, it won't work. We'll end up changing our minds about unschooling. Why do we fear letting go of control? Why do we feel very uncomfortable when we are asked to trust our kids? Do our own experiences affect how we feel? Are we untrustworthy? If we don't trust ourselves to behave sensibly when we're using our computers, how can we ever trust our kids? What is sensible screen behavior? We might all have different ideas about this. Do we think it's okay for everyone to live life with one eye always on a screen? Are we happy living in a society where most people communicate via their screens instead of having face-to-face relationships? Do screens and the internet bring great value to our lives? They allow us to be constantly connected with information and each other, regardless of where we are in the world. Is society evolving in a positive way because of technology? Or do we yearn for more face-to-face conversations? Do we need to do things with our bodies? Do we need to connect physically with other people? Perhaps we feel technology, such as the internet, is distracting us from living real life and doing deep work. There is no doubt that technology has enhanced our lives in many ways, and we can't go backwards. This is the world we live in, the world where our kids will one day get jobs. We can't close our eyes to technology, even if we, at times, don't like it. But do we need to be careful when using it? Do we need to guide our kids when they want to use such things as the internet? I guess a lot depends on whether we think the internet holds any dangers for our children. Are we happy letting them be exposed to it? Or do we worry that they will become addicted to it and therefore become unhappy? Is there really such a thing as internet addiction? I don't think it's inevitable we or our kids will become addicted to the internet or even computer games. But maybe some of us will have more problems with it than others. Could the internet fulfill certain needs within us? For example, maybe we overuse social media because we're lonely. Perhaps it's easier to browse the internet and play games online instead of getting down to serious work. Is it worth pondering why we, or our kids, feel pulled towards the internet when there isn't a good reason to use it? Recently, I made the decision to reduce my online time. I've deleted my Facebook account. I am making an effort not to hop aimlessly around the internet. I've deleted some phone apps. I'm no longer constantly checking my emails and other notifications. I want to regain control of my online life so that I have a better offline one. My behavior hasn't always been dictated by the internet. Not so long ago, I used to be like my children. I'd use the internet in a purposeful manner. I had good concentration skills. I did valuable and deep work. I spent far more time offline than online. So what went wrong? Why can't I handle the internet and you can? I asked my daughter Imogen. Your work is online, Mum. You're expected to use the internet. That's where you meet people and do things. It's easier for us because we don't have to be online as much as you. Yes, once we get involved with the internet, its hold of us can get tighter and tighter. There's always one more email to answer, one more article to read, one more comment to write, one more photo to post, one more story to share, one more problem to ponder, one more person to help, one more. It's never ending. I justify the time I spend online. I'm doing worthwhile work. But sometimes we have to step back and reclaim our lives. We can't do good work when we feel overwhelmed and unhappy. So if adults can have screen regulation problems, is it reasonable to think that some children might have them too? And if they do, how can we help them? Should we limit their screen time? Should we let them use their screens only for certain purposes? Perhaps we need to exert our parental control. This might be the responsible thing to do. Or do rules about such things not work? Do they result in battles? Will kids look for ways to break the rules? Will they try to use screens without our knowledge? I'd rather my kids were free to do things in front of me rather than in secret. I want us all to be honest with each other, so I don't make any screen rules and limits. But if we don't make rules, how do we ensure kids don't get themselves into situations where they become unhappy because they are unable to deal with their screens? Maybe connection is the answer. We can't say to our kids, go and do what you like, and then step back and let them get on with it. Unless, of course, we have strong connections with them. Maybe we need to build up the bonds between us so that our kids value our opinions and look to us for guidance. We can then talk about our own experiences, our struggles, the dangers that we face, and how we're dealing with them. Of course, we should also listen to our kids as they share their opinions, thoughts, ideas, and what's important to them. Parents also have to be good examples. We might have to make changes in our own behaviors if necessary. And maybe we have to help some of our kids determine what their needs are and how they might be fulfilled in ways other than by spending excessive time online. Perhaps we have to guide and support our kids towards self-regulation in a respectful way. I say to Imogen, most unschoolers state that if we trust our kids and let them have free access to such things as the computer and the internet, they will learn to self-regulate their usage. Do you agree? Yes. And if kids seem to be overdosing on their computers when the restrictions are lifted, this will pass once the novelty wears off. Yes, that makes sense. I then say, I've never made any screen rules and none of you has a problem. It's all very simple, isn't it? Or maybe it's not. I've been thinking about how I have free access to the computer and I'm having trouble controlling my behavior. I waste time online. I get distracted. I feel unhappy with how I keep checking my phone. So if adults like me can show addictive behavior online, perhaps kids can as well. Maybe it's not enough to reassure other parents that if they let go of control, everything will be okay. After listening to me, Imogen has something of her own to add. If parents are worried that their kids are using their screens in a way detrimental to their health and happiness, they can't just say, "Turn off the computer and go do something else." It's not that easy. What will kids do? It's important parents build up an offline life full of rich experiences that a child will want to be part of. A parent has to do something. They can't just stand back and make rules. Perhaps parents have to work on their connections so that their kids trust them and value their opinions, I say. This will also ensure parents know their kids very well. If we all have strong bonds of connection, maybe we can allow our kids free access to their screens and there won't be any problems. Our conversation continues. There's a lot to say. This is a very involved topic. Yes, I do think that this is an involved topic. There are a lot of opinions. And I don't think it really is very helpful to tell parents to let go, to trust their kids. Their kids will work it out all by themselves, because maybe they won't. I was talking last week about how when I overdose on the internet, when I have been on my computer for too long, I start to feel bad. My children have told me that they also feel this way when they have had too much time in front of their screens. These bad feelings are a sign that they have got to get up and do something else. And as I said in that story, they do. They know when they've had enough, they close the lids of their computers, and they go and do something different. But sometimes I don't take notice of those bad feelings. I continue to sit at my computer, and my unhappy feelings get worse and worse. I can't seem to let go of what I'm doing, even though I know it's not good for me. And sometimes I need help, even though I'm an adult. And I do appreciate it when one of my kids notices that I'm sitting there and I'm not happy, and they might say to me, "Hey, Mum, would you like to walk up the road and have a cup of coffee with me? Would you like to do this? Would you like to do that?" And they give me an invitation, which I can't resist. And I close my computer lid, and I'm free. I move on to something else. But yes, sometimes I do need help, and so I wonder, why do we think that all children can self-regulate? Surely some children also get stuck. Maybe they can't respond to the bad feelings inside them. I think that screens are useful tools. And the whole point of this podcast is not to tell you to steer clear of screens, stay away from technology. No, technology is part of our world, and we can do some amazing things with it. Our family is a technology family. We use our computers a lot. There are so many things we couldn't do if we didn't have the internet and our computers. They have opened up the world for us. Yes, opened up all the possibilities. The only problem is that we have to be able to deal with these screens, with technology, with the internet, learn how to control it and not let it control us. My children have no problems at all. They're really good at regulating their usage of screens. So I don't think that it is inevitable that all kids are going to have a problem. But maybe we should be aware that some kids might be like me. When I have had too much time on my computer, my brain buzzes. I find it really hard to relax, to slow down again, to come back to earth, to control my thoughts, to relax and go to sleep at night, all those kinds of things. As I said, I have been making some changes in my life so that I am not controlled by my computer, by my phone, by the internet. And it has been really difficult, I tell you. But I think this is a necessary thing to do for my own health and happiness, but also for the example that I am presenting to my children. And maybe we forget about our examples sometimes. We expect certain behaviors from our children, but we make ourselves exempt. We can do what we like. Maybe we make excuses for ourselves. We need to be on the internet. That's where our tribe is, or we need to be listening out for something. We need to stay connected. But our kids don't. We don't allow them the same freedom as we do ourselves. So maybe at times it is good to examine exactly what we're doing. Have we got our phones in our hands all the time? Are we constantly checking notifications? Is it time to make some changes? The other thing we can do is to talk about our experiences, especially when we have children who are finding technology difficult to handle. We can share how we're feeling and what we're doing. Yes, be open about the problems. Invite our kids to talk about possible problems they're having as well. I think that while we're talking about all these things, we're learning about ourselves. We're giving our children the opportunity to learn about themselves. How much can they deal with? Why are they on the computer? What gives them satisfaction? What makes them unhappy? We're putting them in the driving seat. If we make rules and use time limits to limit their usage of technology, they're not learning anything. All they're learning is that parents have the authority. We might start battling. Our kids might learn how to get around the rules. They might learn how to be deceitful, to go behind our backs and use technology anyway. They might not respect our opinions. But if we involve them in the conversation, if we try to help them in a respectful way, they have the reins in their own hands. Motivation for using technology in a responsible way that benefits their health and happiness comes from within them. And maybe they'll grow up being much more able to handle things than people like me who have been thrust in the deep end as an adult. I have already said that computers, computer time, the internet, all those sorts of things are very important to my children. Without them, they cannot do the work that's important to them. Whatever children are doing on the computer should be valued. If it's important to our children, it should be important to us. Saying that, going back to last week's episode, we were talking about exercise and going outside. And those things might be important to us, but not seem to be important to our children. And maybe we would like those things to be important to our children. We could think that it is beneficial to them mentally and physically to get some exercise, to experience nature, to get away from technology for a while, even just to get their eyes off a screen and to look into the distance and give their eyes a rest. And this is the way I feel, despite what some people say, that we should just value what kids value, that we shouldn't impose what we think is important upon our kids. I do think that we have to keep our children healthy and happy. I do think such things as exercise and getting outside are good for our kids, and I would like my kids to be involved with them. But I can't just say, go outside, go and exercise. I have tried this before. It was a dismal failure. I tried that with my first child. Since then, I have learnt my lesson. As Imogen said in my story, we can't just say, turn off the computer and go do something else, like go outside, go and get some exercise. It's not that easy. Yes, parents have to build up an offline life full of rich experiences that a child would want to be part of. A parent has to do something. So if we want our kids to exercise, to experience nature, we have to be willing to do those ourselves. We have to give up our time to take our kids on outings, to invite them to do things with us, to build up our connections with them so that they will want to spend time with us, whatever we're doing. And then, when our connections are very strong, our kids will want to spend time with us, they will value what we have to say, and they will want to follow our example. I'm not saying that they're going to become mini copies of us. They're going to be very different in a lot of ways. And we have to accept that. The goal isn't to make our kids just like us. Our goal is to make sure that our children grow into the people they are meant to be. We want our children to be happy, to use their talents, to fulfill their missions in life. And to do all that, they have to be physically and mentally healthy. So those are just some of the things that I've been pondering on the topic of computer time. I would love to hear your thoughts too and your experiences. I have shared my own experience of not being able to handle the internet, but my children are in a completely different situation, so I haven't been able to talk about it from a child's point of view. If you're worried about your children's usage of screens, if you feel that they aren't handling the internet or computer games or whatever in a way that is beneficial to them, then I would love to hear about your experiences and what you're doing. I think there is great benefit talking about these things, mulling thoughts over, sharing experiences, and supporting and encouraging each other. Just saying, it's very simple. Just let go of control. Kids will find a way. Yes, it's not always that simple. Now, I said at the beginning of this podcast that I am probably repeating some of what I have already said. I am pretty sure that's true. And after last week's podcast episode, A Gradual Approach to Unschooling and More, I began to worry. I knew that I was repeating a story that some people may already have read, but I wondered, had I already told this story on my podcast? I got a bit afraid to go and have a look. I thought maybe everybody has already heard this story. But then again, maybe it doesn't hurt to hear things twice, because of course, I have different things to say each time. Last week, I wrote a blog post called My Unschool Unplanning Strewing Notebook. It was all about how I use my Evernote Unplanning Notebook, not only for strewing, but also to get through our homeschool registration visits. It's my plan that I present to our authorized person when she comes out to visit our family every time our registration needs renewing. When she says, "What are you planning to do for the next 2 years?" I present her with my unplanning notebook. And so far, it has been accepted. So I wanted to share my unplanning notebook with people who are worried about fulfilling homeschool registration requirements while unschooling. How do we fulfill those requirements without compromising our unschooling way of life? I am sure that there are many different ways of doing this, but this is my method, and I thought that I would share it. While I was browsing my YouTube channel, I found that I'd made a video on this topic. I'd forgotten that I'd made it, so I sat down and I watched it, wondering what I'd said. Was the video okay? And it was okay, yes. It was full of ideas, and I thought perhaps I should repost the video with my new blog post. So that's what I did. But then the next day, while I was browsing my blog, I discovered another post about unplanning notebooks. I'd already written about them. I don't know how long ago, maybe a couple of years ago. And I thought, hey, I'm repeating myself. I'm forgetting what I've shared, and I'm writing about it or speaking about it all over again. I'm becoming repetitive. So I apologize to anybody who has already heard my stories a few times. But yes, I'm having trouble remembering. Do I have anything else to share before I finish this episode? Well, talking of technology leads me on to social media. At the time that I wrote this blog post, which was in September last year. So just over a year ago, I deleted my Facebook account. And as I said, I deleted some of my phone apps. I got things more under control. I hung on to Instagram for a long time. And then a few months ago, I deleted Instagram as well. I decided that even though there are a lot of people on Instagram, a lot of unschooling people, and there's a lot of conversations going on over there, that I'd rather spend my time working a bit deeper, work on my unschooling book, write more blog posts, spend less time chatting with people online. But just recently, maybe a week or so ago, I went back to Instagram. And in some ways, I feel I'm going backwards. Yes, I got in control of my usage of technology, and now I'm increasing it again. Why am I doing this? What need is Instagram fulfilling in me? And can I fulfill that need in another way? A way that doesn't involve my computer and the internet. I decided that Instagram is fulfilling the need for friendship. Blogging can be a very lonely thing to do. Blogging communities seem to be smaller these days than when I started out maybe 8 years ago. A lot of people have deleted their blogs or just abandoned them, and I haven't been able to connect into any new blogging communities. Maybe there are unschooling blogging communities out there that I could hook into. Maybe I just haven't found them. But yes, at the moment, I don't get a lot of feedback on what I'm writing. I don't get a lot of chances to talk to people. This doesn't mean that my blog is a waste of time, because I do get a lot of visitors to my blog, but they tend to read and maybe ponder, and they don't stop by. Maybe they don't want to be involved in a conversation. Maybe they just want to take the information away and ponder it by themselves. I just have to accept that. That's the nature of blogging. But the other day I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to chat with somebody? So I went back to Instagram. And yes, there's a lively community of people over there talking about all kinds of things. And as an added attraction, there's a lot of good photos to look at. You might know that I like taking photos. Instagram is a great place to share photos, to look at other people's, to share my own. So I've been posting photos and chatting about unschooling and catching up with some old friends and making some new ones. But part of me wonders how long my enthusiasm will last. When will I become overwhelmed again? When will I start thinking I can't handle all this anymore? Because probably that will happen. Maybe it's just the way I am. I don't suppose there's anything wrong with taking an internet break every now and then, ignoring Instagram for a while. I could go off, do other things. It will still be there when I come back. Yes, finding a balance is very tricky. That word balance, that reminds me of something. A lot of people talk about our kids leading balanced lives. Maybe they think they should do a bit of this, a bit of that, and a bit of the other, when our kids really want to spend most of their time working on their passions. So maybe the word balance isn't the right word. Our kids don't have to do everything that we feel they should be doing. All they have to do to live a balanced life is to incorporate everything into their lives that gives them satisfaction, happiness, and keeps them healthy at the same time. But I'm heading back into computer screen usage again when I should be wrapping up this episode. I guess I could invite you to go over to Instagram and look up my account, Stories of an Unschooling Family. I sometimes worry that people think that I'm a bit inconsistent. I keep changing my mind about things. Yes, I find it hard to make decisions. That's not really true, though. I'm inconsistent about some things like technology. I haven't found the perfect way to handle that yet. But as far as unschooling goes and other things in my life, my beliefs, my convictions, they're deeply rooted. I was talking to a friend the other day about how it would be really lovely if I could project myself as an expert, as somebody who has got everything under control, someone very organized, someone who knows what she's doing and where she's going, and doesn't have a single problem in her life. But unfortunately, that's not true. I guess I'm just human like everybody else. But maybe I shouldn't actually open my mouth and admit that I'm having worries about this or problems with that. That sometimes I feel that I'm not handling things as well as I should. But opening my mouth is just the way I am. But maybe admitting that my life isn't as perfect as I would like it to be, that gives everybody else permission to relax and to admit that they don't have to keep up a false image of perfection either. Well, that's what I hope anyway. It would be terrible to find out that everybody else other than me is leading a perfect life. It's just me that has problems. So I'm going to put some show notes on my blog, Stories of an Unschooling Family. I invite you to go over to my blog. Please feel free to comment on anything that I have said today, whether you agree or disagree. Yes, we can all learn from each other, even if we have differences of opinion. If you would just like to say hello, you don't have anything in particular to say, please stop by as well. It would be lovely to meet you, to hear who's actually listening to my podcast. I hope to be back with another episode next week. Yes, next week is the first official week of the school term. Our lives will start to get a little more busy as my husband Andy goes back to school. I would like to thank you for listening to this episode. And until next time, don't forget to trust, respect, and love unconditionally.